A recent Zillow survey finds that 3 out of 4 homebuyers report having at least one regret about the home that they purchased. So what we're going to do on today's episode is explore some of the top triggers of remorse and look at ways that you can avoid having that feeling the next time you purchase a home. Let's grab Colleen and get today's episode started.
Welcome to Keeping It Real Estate with Colleen Benson and the Benson Broker Group with Keller Williams. This is your go-to source for insights, expert guidance, and tips on making your real estate experience stress-free.
Colleen, welcome back for another episode. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. Enjoying the spring weather. How about you?
Yeah, same. Enjoying this kind of change in seasons. Always nice when you're kind of in that transition mode. So I'm looking forward to, I think the year is going to be great. First quarter went by fast. Second quarter is going to be just as good, I think.
I agree.
Nice. Well, we're talking about home buyers on today's episode, and in particular, this Zillow survey that found, well, gosh, kind of some sad news here, Colleen, that 75%, 3 out of 4 home buyers have at least one regret about the home that they purchased.
Darn and Zillow.
when you saw this article, your first reaction was like, well, that's terrible. That's sad.
I'm like, that's not our clients, because that's sad.
Yeah. Well, that's good news that that's not your clients. And through the episode today, we're going to be finding out why that is, maybe what you do differently to help people avoid feeling this buyer's remorse. Now,
right.
I will say, let's give this survey some context before we dive into the top reasons and then talk about maybe some solutions for future home buyers out there. This was very informal, so this is not some scientific study. This was a poll conducted via Facebook. So let's just put that out there that we're going to put a little bit of stock into it, but not a whole lot. It did pool over 5,000 responses, but take it for what it's worth as being a Facebook poll. All right.
Okay.
That's out of the way. All right. So let's go over the 6 reasons for buyer's remorse that they identified in this article, the top 6 reasons. We can just kind of take them one by one. Just get some of your thoughts on these, Colleen, as we go through.
All right.
First one, people regretted that they bought a home that requires too much maintenance. I've been there. I've had that oops. I might have gotten in further than I expected on this.
I feel like new home buyers, that they haven't had a home before, they think, oh, that's easy. And I did that with my first home. I'm like, oh, we're going to buy this house. We're going to replace all the baseboards and we're going to paint the kitchen and do all these great things. And then, you know, you start living in the house and you get used to those ugly baseboards. And, you know, 5 years later, I'm still living with the same ugly baseboards. Right. So I feel like that happens, and it can happen. And a lot of times when I look at my first time home buyers, I say, well, it depends. When they're looking at a fixer, how do you like to spend your weekends? Do you mind spending your weekends working on home projects? Is that a thing you guys love to do? Or do you like to spend your weekends out on the boat, on the lake? Is that what you want to be doing? And so sometimes it helps give perspective of, yeah, if there's a lot of maintenance or a lot of home improvement things to do, maybe this isn't the house for you.
It's a great point. We went from like a 0.4 acre home that was a nice square front and backyard.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to maintain, to an acre and a half with 1,000 trees on the property.
Oh.
And it was a total fixer upper. And for basically 4 straight years, we were in constant painting, fixing, renovation mode. And I'm glad for the experience and to have learned it, but I don't really want to ever go down that road again. It's like,
no.
I spent my, you know, late 20s and early 30s not going out and doing fun stuff, but, you know, going to Home Depot 4 times every weekend.
But I mean, you did, I heard you say you did enjoy the experience. You probably made some really great money over those years in the equity of your home. Can your marriage survive? Some, you know, when you're making decisions and you're working together every weekend, sometimes it can be a real battle. Like maybe one person's really in it and one's not. And so, there's all kinds of things to consider when you're buying something that needs a lot of work.
Yep. Definitely ponder it. Think about it. And, don't be afraid to reverse course, perhaps if you get into a situation that you're in over your head a little bit on the maintenance side. Another regret, Colleen, was that people bought a home that's too small. So people wish they'd gotten that extra bedroom, perhaps, or just something a little bigger.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, people feel like, okay, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, we can live with this. And they're like, gosh, we really needed that second bathroom. It would have made all the difference, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a way to add a bathroom or expand a kitchen or add that extra bedroom or not. But what I say is, you know, if you're buying within your means and you can afford your monthly payments and it doesn't make you house poor, meaning you're not dumping a lot of money into it. If you buy a house that's too small, maybe you're going to make some great equity. And in a couple of years, let's get you into that house that actually has that guest bedroom or that family room or that bonus room you're needing.
Yeah. It's not hopefully that's not an immediate regret. Although, again, it's identified in this poll because it's like, yeah, you should think about that. But maybe it's people who bought a house and all of a sudden found out that they're having a baby and they're like, oh, we weren't expecting that. Maybe we should have bought a bigger house.
So right. Or like
that
me,
reason
I just
for that
got,
could be wide.
I just got married and my husband has two preteen girls. So all of a sudden we're all here in my home together and our home now. And we're missing a guest room.
Yeah.
So, and we love our house. We have no interest in selling, but circumstances changed and I had two guest rooms and now I don't have any.
So you either adjust with it or you'll look for something new at some point. Right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Another regret was that people bought a home in the wrong location. And that one's tough because once you have that realization or that regret, that's a tough one to kind of get used to or get out of your head, I would think.
It is. So I have a current situation. I have an agent joining my team. She's licensed Keller Williams agent in New York, and her husband is military, and he is actually thankful for his service. They're being transferred to Depot Bay. And so I am helping them find a home, and I matched them up with my preferred lender who got them approved. And I'm helping them from New York, find a home, face a lot of FaceTime video, touring them through homes, and location seems to be a real big deal to them. And being that they're in New York, he commutes over an hour back and forth to work every day. And that's just the norm, right?
Yeah.
But now they're looking at commuting to Depot Bay. Do they buy a house in the Valley or do they buy a house at the coast? And I was like, I really think you're going to prefer to be living in one of the coastal towns for his commute and everything else. But they're like, well, he won't mind commuting from Salem. That's actually a really long commute here. It feels like it. It's an hour. But to them, it's nothing because they're used to
New York,
driving in the city. So it seems like that where I am really conscious of, I want them to buy a house in a great location. And I'm coaching them on different areas of the Willamette Valley, whether it's Yamhill County, Lynn, Benton, Corvallis area, and trying to give them an idea of these different communities. But it's hard. I haven't met them. Yeah. We've just been on the phone back and forth. And we do that with a lot of out-of-state clients, trying to kind of explain the different areas and what they might be looking for and what their commute is really going to look like when they get here. So yeah, location, sometimes I would feel really bad if they ended up buying a house that the commute ends up being longer than they want and it's not the right location.
That's a really tough one because you can even move to a new place, rent for a while, and then make your decision to buy. And even after going through all of that, you can still buy in a certain, but like you might rent in one location and say, okay, this one wasn't the right location for us, but oh, I'm loving the homes over here in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
But then you can still move into that place and go, oh, you know what? It wasn't quite what we thought it was. So it's really hard to like nail that one perfectly. And so, yeah, you gotta give yourself some grace on that one, I think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I bought my house a couple years ago and I'm so in love with my neighbors. I mean, we have the best neighbors. It's like I'm in love with my home more because of the neighbors we have. And that makes a world of difference sometimes.
It does, absolutely. All right, well, those are three of the top reasons for buyer's remorse in this survey. Number four, Colleen, was folks bought an older home that needs a lot of repairs. We can kind of file that one under the home maintenance conversation, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of put those together in the first one. Yep. Repairs and home maintenance kind of go hand in hand. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. So just realize, and I can speak from experience here, buying a house from 1984 that hadn't been through any updates is a lot different experience than buying a house that was built in the 2020s.
Yes.
So it creates a whole different world of what maintenance means.
Right. And sometimes those houses like nestled in the trees look so cozy and inviting.
Yep.
And all I see when I look at a house like that is, oh my gosh, those trees are going to be so much work.
So much work. We were constantly trimming trees at that same house that was also older, and we're constantly dealing with issues on the roof of limbs falling, growing over the roof or falling on the roof, potentially causing damage to the gutters during a storm when they hit the gutters.
I mean, power outages.
So much stuff. The water softener, you know, died out. Then the water heater itself died out, needed replacing. Air conditioning problems. I mean,
you've been through it all, Walter.
We went through it all at that house, no doubt about
it. No wonder you bought brand new.
Snakes everywhere. Yeah,
oh, gosh.
We got rid of all that. We bought brand new and haven't had to deal with any of those issues. So keep that in mind. All right. Number five was that folks didn't consider the total environment. So this is, again, kind of in that wrong location category, but this is a little bit more of like, I don't know, they were talking about surroundings or the amount of privacy that they have, or maybe it's the total acreage. It was just something not necessarily about the house itself, but maybe just something surrounding the home.
Yeah.
And I think that one does kind of fall into that wrong location category. So if you really combine those two different things, yeah, maintenance and repairs is huge, not looking over that. And then location, location, location. There's a reason that's the saying in the industry, right?
Yeah.
So if you get that, it's going to lead to regret. All right, last but not least, and this one's sad, not doing more research. So people, I guess, just didn't feel as informed as they should have been. And
yeah, one that I see that didn't make this list, but with people working from home, it's just the ability for their high-speed internet and their phone service. You know, you think you're just going to be fine wherever you live, but if you're working from home, or especially if you've got a couple people working from home, you want to make sure that you're in an area where that high speed is not going to be an issue. And
if you're working from home and you've got a bunch of gamers in the household
that
are also going to be taking up internet bandwidth. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I see.
All right, Colleen. So here, that's the six reasons plus one you just identified as well. So what do you think are the reasons for why buyer's remorse is happening at such an extreme rate? And also, what are you doing with the fact that you think you've got this sort of discrepancy where you don't have 75% of your clients experiencing this kind of remorse?
Oh, I love this question. Number one, why we're probably seeing this, my guess, is we had, you know, two full years of buyers competing offers, you know, writing 21 offers for a buyer before they get the house they want.
Interesting, yeah.
So they might be settling where they wouldn't be if the market was a little more balanced, like it is right now. And so they might have bought something that they settled for and didn't quite check all the boxes they needed it to, because they were just so anxious to get into a home and they're just tired of the battle.
And people were having to make decisions like immediately. You couldn't go.
You didn't have time to think
three times and think about it for a week. You had to decide that day if you wanted it, or sight unseen, right?
So now, Walter, that we're in more of a balanced market, it's a little bit easier, I think, on buyers. You know, they can, yes, the interest rates are a little bit higher. I get it. But what does that matter if your payment's where you need it to be and you're getting all the things you want in the house? You're having the time to do that research. You're having the conversations. You're able to sleep on it and make an offer that is in good faith based on comparables in the area, and know that you may not necessarily be in a bidding war to overpay for that property. What we like to do on our team is we'll sit down with you in the beginning, and I've talked about this a lot. We have a serious buyer consult with all the buyers involved. So if it's a married couple, we want them both there. If a parent is helping their kids, we'd like the parent there, because we want to hear everybody's perspective on what things mean. So when they say, we'd like a big yard, well, a big yard could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So we ask the questions, we peel the layers of the onion, so to speak. Like, what does it mean to you? And then look at, you know, the other decision makers, and what does that mean to you? So that we have a really good grasp on what everybody involved is wanting. And, you know, sometimes with couples, one is very vocal and one is very quiet. And so we want to make sure, a lot of times the quiet one is the decision maker, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So we want to make sure we're hearing from everybody on what matters to them the most and what things are negotiable. Then when a buyer walks in and is like, oh, I want this house. Look at the kitchen. Okay, that kitchen's gorgeous, but it doesn't check these boxes. Are you sure? You know, kind of bring them back down to their original list and their original thoughts, because it's real easy to kind of fall in love with something about a house and then it doesn't quite check the boxes that were really important to you.
That's a great point. If I can just chime in, Colleen, on our last home search, just because you hit on something really important. A view was important for us. We wanted to not back up to another home. We had, because we were coming from an acre and a half. We knew we weren't going to get that in our new home, in our new area. Mm-hmm. But we were definitely still wanting at least some sort of openness to be involved. So we didn't want the home to back up to another home. Wanted open space something. And we found one home that had a beautiful view of the mountains. And we said, all right, this is the home. Look at that view. That's like the most important thing. And it was this moment of like, well, hold on a second. It doesn't have a basement. It doesn't, the master bedroom is attached to the living room. Mm-hmm. And it's actually square footage wise is way smaller than what we were looking for. And the way it's situated against the neighbors isn't what you were looking for. I mean, it had all these other, and the kitchen wasn't as updated as we were hoping. And, you know, it's just kind of this boring layout of the home. So anyway, it just didn't check any of the other boxes. So we had to do the exact same. We were wowed by one thing, but it didn't check anything else off the list. So we had to kind of just peel those expectations back a little bit and reset. And that helped us from making this bad decision or having that buyer's remorse if we'd bought
that. And I feel like it's our job representing our buyers properly to kind of remind them, you know. But I just helped some buyers. Actually, we're talking about baby boomers in our last segment. Baby boomers downsize and buy a home, and they've bought and sold many times in their lifetime. So, and what she said to me, she's like, I can't explain it. I'll know it when I feel it. And that's valid too. Sometimes, you know, you just walk into a house and you're like, yep, this feels right. This is the one. But they're experienced buyers and sellers. So I feel like a lot of these questions of buyer's remorse might be more geared towards first-time buyers and how to make that decision. And that's when you really, really need to rely on the expertise of a realtor that can help guide you and find that property that fits as many of the things you're looking for as possible.
It's a great point, Colleen. As always, you give us some good perspective. So thanks. Some good tips for you today on avoiding buyer's remorse. But I think also if you have a little bit of buyer's remorse, it's not the end of the world. You can always sell that home and find another one. And you know, just try not to lose your head through the situation either. And Colleen can walk you through that step and that process or help you avoid buyer's remorse in the first place by working with a great team and a great agent like the Benson Broker Group. So if you want to call or text Colleen to get in touch, you can do that at 503-830-9467 or download the home buyer guide that Colleen has assembled. That's a great way to get some education right out of the gate. In addition to what we always provide here on the show, you can get it in kind of paper form, if you will. BensonBrokerGroup.com is where that lives under the show resources page. We'll also link to that directly in the description of today's show so you can find it easily. And again, that is for the home buyer guide that'll teach you the terms that you need to know, the steps of the process, all that good stuff. Colleen, thanks for another great episode. Really appreciate your insight.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Yep. We'll see everybody next time right back here on Keeping It Real Estate.